All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Wednesday, August 17th. I am Doug Norrie, and I am sitting in a room all alone with no one on Skype to talk to either, and I'll be rolling through this podcast 100% solo today, so bear with me if you can't stand the sound of my droning on voice with no one else to interrupt me. This is what you're going to get today from our Major League Baseball podcast. If you're first time with us, we're from DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, trying to help you build lineups for DraftKings and for FanDuel. Right now we have MLB up there with projections for every single player where you can calculate optimal lineups powered through Lineup Lab. And NFL coming really, really soon. Really excited about that. Saw a beta test of our brand new tools coming through. Should have them up later on in the week, we're really hoping. Free for 3 days for all of that. $29.95 a month after. And that's going to that price includes baseball and NFL together. So you're not paying separate for separate sports. So a couple things going on today. We had some technical difficulties. Typically, Chris Durrell is on with us today talking baseball and then a little golf. But we had a little tech snafu, but I didn't want to just skip the pot altogether. So like I said, I'll roll through some of the picks for baseball today, talk about some of the things we have coming up for DFSR that we're excited about, and really just get everyone started on a double slate of baseball going forward. So today is interesting. There's two slates of games. There's an early afternoon slate that starts at 1 o'clock, and then there's a 7 o'clock slate. And actually, it's funny. The 1 o'clock slate to me seems... I was in the chat room. We have a chat room up on our site, for those that don't know, where people are pretty much talking right now baseball 24 hours a day, whether it's right now talking about strategy leading into tonight's games. That will go on really all the way through Lineup Lock. I'm in there. DFSR co-founder James Davis is in there. Our writers, Chris and Nick and Austin, are in there talking baseball all day. And then actually once we hit around 7 o'clock when the games start, after that it actually just becomes sort of like watching baseball with your friend, where you're simultaneously cheering for what happens or tilting a little bit if something doesn't really go your way. But I find it, and I think our users find it, to be sort of just a way to jump in and watch baseball when maybe there's no one at your house that's around to watch baseball with. And we really like it for that. We've really built a nice community over there. Head over to the chat room, talk baseball, get some questions answered, and you're all set to go. So, but I was in the chat room this morning, and I said to some of the people that were in there, I said, you know, this early slate to me looks pretty cut and dry. And that's what happens when you get a cheaper pitcher. In this case, it's Archer. Well, cheaper upper tier arm like Archer combined with a game in Coors. And when I say cheap on Archer, I mean, you know, he's coming in on FanDuel 9,400. On DraftKings, I think it's around the same price actually. Yeah, well, 10,600, a little more expensive on DraftKings. But what you're getting from him is so much built-in safety for a couple reasons. One, his money line starts by far the highest on the slate. He's coming in, he started at -205. He's been bet to -210. With the run line actually dropping. So the Padres have they started at around 3.25 implied runs and dropped to just around 3 runs coming in, which makes sense, right? Like, so Archer's going into Great Park. It's much easier to pitch in Tampa Bay than almost anywhere else in baseball. And he's a guy that has, I would call it, just about elite K stuff. He's striking out more than 10.5 batters per 9. The walks have troubled him a little bit this season, which is the only thing that's probably kept the price in check, because it's a little harder for him to go longer in games. But the walks over the short term have really kind of sorted it out. In his last 4 games, he walked none last game against the Yankees, 3 the game before against the Twins, 1 against the Royals, and then none against the Dodgers. And then he's kind of all in that 2-1 range for the games before that. A lot of the walk issues seem like they stem from earlier in the season. And I don't know if he's made a correction or if he's not getting squeezed as much. It's hard to know exactly what the change has been with Archer, all except to know that the walks don't appear to be as much of an issue now as they were early in the season. You know, his xFIP is a little lower than the ERA. The ERA is in the mid-4s range. The xFIP is under 4, so you could say maybe he's been a little unlucky this season. All this points to he is... I hate to judge or I hate to guess what ownership percentages are going to be this early on. I would suspect Archer on FanDuel is 70% or higher start in cash games. It might even be higher, because all the contextual pieces you need for a cash game play are really there with him. The Padres, they stink. And I know that they've added a couple lefty bats around the middle. Like, so if you look at their Padres for the season, how they've been against righties this season, they're really the bottom of the barrel. But if you their shorter term gains have improved a little simply because they added Dickerson to the middle of the lineup, they added Schimpf to the middle of the lineup, and those guys are just simply better against righty pitching than what they were throwing out there before. You know, they jettisoned Kemp, who's a strikeout machine. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys they were rolling out there. You know, they put Jankowski at the top of the lineup, so there are some lefty bats that Archer will have to contend with here, but nothing that really scares you. And it really doesn't scare you at all considering the park. Tampa Bay really suppresses power. The Padres don't have a ton of it to begin with, and I just don't see a reason you wouldn't play Archer on this early slate. And it really also because after him, the pitching has either drops off a cliff completely in terms of talent, or the matchups just aren't great, which I'll touch on a couple of those guys in a second. So I think with Archer, you're getting that implied safety. You're getting the implied safety on the win with the money line. He has strikeout stuff with just about the tippy top in the league. The only thing that holds him back a little is the walks, but if he can pound the strike zone here, I think he's going to be in good shape for the game. I think he's the clear starting pitcher one for cash on both sites. Now, you run into a little bit of an issue on DraftKings with that starting pitcher too. There are a couple. So right now in our optimal lineup, Strasburg is showing up in there. Strasburg's playing in Coors. Obviously, the system understands this. Our projection system factors in things like ballpark and implied runs and opposing team. The reason it's putting Strasburg in there is because DraftKings has also done something where, you know, they price adjust for Coors, and it's something that the industry, you know, sort of writ large has done more this season than previous seasons, where they will make the adjustment to figure out what the breaking point that you feel like you can play a Coors bat or a Coors pitcher, and the numbers go opposite, right? So what is the tippy-top number in terms of salary you can pay for a bat in Coors, and what is the basement price you'll pay for a talent or an arm when it comes to pitching? We've rostered a couple pitchers in Coors this year that we thought were price plays considering their matchups. Like, there was a Tyler Anderson play earlier in the year where he was coming in somewhere around 4,000, and it just said, you know what, I know it's Coors, the matchup is there, you can take a risk on it. I believe Archer fell into that category earlier in the season. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't totally remember. I just know that there have been times where, you know, Coors boosts power, but it's not hitting on the moon, right? It's not like, you know, playing wiffle ball in your backyard when someone's soft tossing it to you. You do have the opportunity to get out, and now you need to decide where does that opportunity cost lie. So with Strasburg, you get an elite arm at 9,400 on DraftKings. He comes in as a slight favorite over the Rockies. You know, he's minus 150 now. The implied runs are through the roof. I get it. You know, the Rockies are up there around over 4.5 run implied runs going in. So can you do it? It's close for me. I think of anyone in this tier, he has the upside. Like, he has more upside, I think, than I'm looking at some of the other players here. So in terms of just straight up raw points upside, he probably has more than Hap, who's coming in at 10-9. I think that's an overpay, even facing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Hap just doesn't have the strikeout stuff for me to really get too excited about. Carlos Martinez is 8,100. That's interesting. It's against a Houston team that can hit, though Houston does strike out a lot. I'm a little bit worried about some of the warning signs we've seen from Martinez this year in terms of the K's dropping off some. He's had some blow-up games. He's really just not striking out batters to the point where he was last season, and that has cost him, especially in the short term, where he's getting knocked around, he's having trouble going in later in games. So I'm not sure I totally can get on board with him. He's also an underdog coming into the game. And then you have some other guys like Matt Cain. Oof, you know, I know Matt Cain has a good ballpark and he's 5,500, but at some point, you know, now you're really relying completely on the bats at that point. You need every bat to sort of fire on all cylinders, because the thought about rostering Kane at 5,500 means you're just kind of hoping he doesn't put in an epically bad performance, which he's definitely capable of. Matt Cain is not the Matt Cain of, you know, 2005 or whatever, whenever he was good. So this is the problem with Strasburg, right? What's the breaking point? I have a feeling with our system that if any cheap bats come in to the lineups early on, it's going to jam Strasburg's price in there because it's just going to say, look, you don't, no one else has the strikeout ability. And he does keep his floor a little higher because he can dial up those strikeouts. The bottom of that Rockies order is not very good, especially with the lefty bats. You know, once you can get through Blackman, I mean, I guess LeMahieu, Arenado's better against lefties, and past Cargo. I know they added Dahl to the middle of that lineup too. You really need to roll through the first five, which is no easy task in that park. Down to the bottom of the lineup, you get a little bit more safety with him. So I don't know. It's close for me. 9,400. This will be the big question, I think, of the early slate. And by the way, you don't have to play these slates, right? You could look at DraftKings and say to yourself, well, I like Archer. The starting pitcher two are so bad or have so many question marks that I simply don't feel safe with this. And you just, man, live to fight another day, right? Play the evening slate. Just don't play it. I think on FanDuel, I'm actually willing to put more bankroll in on this slate because this is, like I said, this is the exact kind of situation that I look for. What I deem to be a safe pitcher with relatively reliable bats in this case, a good park or with high implied run lines, that is just the kind of cash game play you're looking for in baseball. With baseball, the variance is obviously so crazy that nothing is ever quote-unquote safe, but some days are definitely safer than others, and this early slate on FanDuel definitely strikes me as one of them. So, like, just to sum up pitching on the early slate, Archer, clear-cut cash game play. DraftKings, it's closer for me. There's a case to be made for Strasburg. I guess there's a case to be made for Kane, although I really don't want to do it. I'm sure if I had someone on the podcast right now with me, like James or Chris, they'd probably be talking me out of this, though. You know, looking at Kane's game log, yeah, I don't know. He's just not very good. You're getting peak five innings. You're hoping for a K in inning. You're hoping he doesn't get totally blown up and deliver a lot of walks. The Pirates are a decent hitting team. So you're really only in the price play there. None of the other pitchers really interest me here. Pfister, no thanks. Nova, really no thanks. And Happ, I think he's just a little too expensive for that park. And his peripherals, while good, aren't elite status where you can pay this much for him. So that's kind of where I stand on the early slate of pitching. For hitting on this slate, it's, again, it kind of comes down to a cut and dry situation for me. Because you're not getting crushed with Archer's price, or really any price, no matter who you play at pitcher, you're left with being able to, one, just pay for at least Harper and Murphy. Those are the two bats that I'm going to target the most here. Neither one is priced out of contention, really, on either site, simply because you don't have to pay for pitching. Harper at 4,500 on FanDuel, Murphy at 4,400. I guess they're not lock and load. Harper for me is. I guess they both are. Yeah. So I don't think you need to get away from either one of those guys, just considering the salaries. They get a lefty-righty matchup against Gray. I know Gray has some strikeout ability. You know, he's a guy that's really, he's just a tough, Gray's a tough guy to figure out because these pitchers get such a disservice done to them by having to pitch in Coors for their career that it makes them nearly impossible to evaluate. So Gray is striking out 9.5 batters for 9. That's pretty good. That's really great if considering you play half your games in Coors. He walks a little bit more than 3. The xFIP is 3.7, lower than the ERA. He's a good pitcher. He's actually a guy that if he wasn't pitching in Coors all the time, we'd be talking a lot more about, I suspect, because he just has real ability. Now, the Washington run line started around 6, has actually dropped a little bit over the course of the morning or overnight. Actually, no, it just recently dropped. So Vegas is sort of hammering the under on them because it might be because of Gray. You know, Dusty Baker has some interesting, and I'm putting interesting in quotes, interesting concepts about lineup construction when it comes to how the Nats turn out their lineup. So they hit Trey Turner lead off. He's a strikeout machine who doesn't take any walks, but he's fast. So that fits the Dusty Baker mold of, well, he's fast, so hit him lead off. And I know he's been good, but it doesn't really stand to continue over the long term considering his profile. Then they hit another righty second with Worth. Maybe. I mean, it could be Revere hitting there. And then they pound two lefties in the middle of the order, so then it allows other teams to play matchup ball with their bullpen because they hit Murphy and Harper 3 and 4. They kind of swap them in and out. It just doesn't make any sense, right? So if Baker had half a brain when it came to lineup construction, he would hit Harper second here, I think. And I mean, you can still hit Turner leadoff. I personally don't think I would because he just doesn't get on base enough. But whatever, he's fast. He can steal bases once he gets on. He's like sort of that Billy Hamilton type, but The fact that he won't do that and hit Harper fourth makes no sense to me. That being said, I'm still totally on Harper and Murphy here for cash games. I think they end up, those two guys end up being the chalk plays as well. I'm not sure I'm going to totally overpay for Turner and for Worth, even if they're hitting the top of the lineup. Gray has been platoon neutral pitcher so far this season. He's been equally, you know, for those that don't know, that means he's equally good against righty and lefty bats this season. Doesn't look like, you know, he walks a few less righties. So from that point of view, I guess, I mean, Turner doesn't walk anyway, so that doesn't really matter. But you can't really play a total, you know, he's not dominant against one hand. So I'm not worried about that. But Worth is significantly better against lefties. I'm just not sure he gets enough of an uptick considering his price to be considered safe in this matchup. And the rest of that Nats lineup really goes righties all the way down. Like you said, you could get a Ben Revere sighting maybe against the righty. I mean, I guess maybe they could throw Clint Robinson in there. I believe he's a lefty. None of these bats really totally excite me considering the matchup. But, I mean, Clint Robinson, I guess if Clint Robinson was hitting like sixth in the lineup at 2,900 on FanDuel, that starts to become interesting. But really, it's Harper and Murphy for me. Outside of the Nationals on the early slate, I think you really need to look at the Blue Jays. They're facing Sabathia. The ballpark's good. The ballpark's a little better for lefties than it is for righties for power in Yankee Stadium. But the Blue Jays are facing Sabathia. Sabathia is one of these guys. I mean, I probably stacked against Sabathia more than I should have, but he's just not very good, right? He's 7 Ks per 9. He's walking more than 3.5. XFIP is close, pushing up toward 5. And I know that the Blue Jays are without Bautista right now, but they're still running three or four righties at the top of the lineup. They're going to probably hit Travis leadoff. He's in a great spot. Donaldson, obviously, total lefty killer. He's in a great spot. Encarnacion in the same vein. So you have some really interesting righty Blue Jays bats that you're going to get a little bit of a savings on as opposed to the game in Coors. You know, of course, the run line is a little lower, but hey, it's pushing up to 5 right now, and that's a really nice spot for this team. And I think the Blue Jays offer, I think you'll see, for me at least, in our system probably also, you're going to see mostly Archer, Toronto bats, and Washington bats with a few other cheaper guys maybe filled in there just to kind of round out the lineup. But I can see a situation where you're basically saying Archer, Martin, Encarnacion, Donaldson, Murphy, Harper, and then hopefully we get some cheaper bats in there that can round it out, because those guys, I mean, Tulo is up there too at shortstop. He's only 3,000 on FanDuel. The pricing is a little bit steeper on DraftKings, though. If you go anyone else at starting pitcher too besides Strasburg, then you just basically stack those two teams. Toronto, Washington, Archer, cheap pitcher, and call it a day. I don't really know if I want to go too far beyond those two games, simply because the implied runs for the Nats and the Blue Jays is, I don't know, 10 to 15 to 20% higher than the next closest team. Why would you do it? Why would you look anywhere else? I mean, you can go Rockies in a tournament, I think, if you think they get to Strasburg early. All these other teams, really, for me, I guess you could go some Rays righty bats. They've been hitting well lately. They'll play some matchups with Longoria. They'll have a couple righties at the top of the lineup. But after that, I mean, actually, I take that back. The Rays actually might be a team, depending on the way they pull their lineup out, that comes up a little bit more in the system. But those are probably, it's tippy top Nationals, right there under them, the Blue Jays, because they're coming cheaper, and then maybe you round it out with some cheap Rays bats if you can get them around the middle, top of the lineup, if they play some matchups. So that's it for me on the early slate, and let's head over to the evening slate of games and talk about what we got going on there. So we come into this one sort of it's not the same situation as the early slate, but there are, to me, a couple of clear-cut pitching options at the top of things, and I'm not positive I'm going to be straying too far beyond a couple of these guys today, just because their implied projections are significantly higher than the next closest teams. So, and really that comes down today to Lester and Darvish. They're both in good spots here, but for somewhat different reasons, right? So with Lester, you get a guy who strikes me as pretty safe, all things considered. He doesn't have elite K stuff. He's striking out just a little less than a batter per 9. The XFIP is worse than the ERA, so I'm not too enamored with the sub-3 ERA, because the XFIP is about 3.5. The FIP is even higher, pushing up till 4. But he, of any pitcher, has the best probably chance for the win today against Milwaukee. Now, there's no the only problem with evaluating Cubs this early in the day is that their implied run total never comes out till around noon or something like that. And I think, and I'm pretty sure that's because Vegas is waiting on some wind directional stuff in Wrigley. It always happens when they're playing at home. When they play on the road, the lines are in there. So when that happens, I suspect it's simply the Wrigley factor. They're waiting to see, metaphorically and figuratively and literally, which way the wind blows. So with Lester, that's really all we're waiting on here. If I were to guess, I'm going to put it at right around 8.5 for with the Cubs grabbing most of that, considering it's the money line's at -270 to start. Lester is facing a Brewers team that K's a ton against lefties. They strike out almost 26% of the time. They have a couple middle of the order bats that worry you. You know, Braun, Carter, Hernan Perez. This guy couldn't be running any hotter with power. So he doesn't personally worry me, though I know why some people would look at him and say, oh, that's a guy that we can kind of worry about. You know, Jonathan Villar is better against lefties. So the Brewers aren't a team that you can just run all the way through. But the Lester's K upside is there. The win expectation is there. He's efficient enough that I'm not too worried about it. But the other guy in that same price range, and I think this is where you're making your decision, is Darvish. So Darvish, the good news on Darvish is actually last game, they finally stretched him out. The Rangers had been throwing him right around 95 pitches a game. And then last game against Detroit, he actually wasn't as good. He wasn't as efficient. But the big news is they pushed him up to over 100 pitches. He went 107. That's a great sign. So the big concern we had on him early on was that the Rangers were just being safe with him, being cautious with him, which makes sense. The guy had come off the DL. He's obviously their ace. They need him. There's no reason to just push him up to the upper limits of pitch count. But as we get later on in the summer and get toward the end of the season, they are starting to stretch him out a little bit. And if he's a guy that's going to go up over 100 pitches now, his upside is more than Lester. Now, Oakland does not K a ton against righty bats. That is for sure they don't. They only strike out 18% of the time this season. But they also are one of the weakest teams in the league against righty pitching, so you end up meeting in the middle. Lester gets that K expectation boost, but I think there's more downside with Lester because I can see the Brewers getting to him a little bit more than I can see the A's stringing together a lot of runs. Darvish does not have the park in his favor. Texas is a really great place to hit. So this is where I mean, we like Lester and we like Darvish, but we like them for different reasons. I'm tempted right now at 10 o'clock in the morning to say Darvish is the play over Lester. Our system is not saying that. It's saying play Lester. Well, it's the opposite, so you can figure out what the opposite is. But it's saying go Lester, and I kind of get the reasons why. But I'm a little concerned that, one, we haven't totally factored in Darvish being stretched out now to the point where he is not a lock for 6 innings, but the Rangers are motivated that if he can keep it efficient to get push up into that 6 and 7 inning range because he's going to get over 100 pitches. So I think you end up seeing those two things meeting. I think when it's all said and done, our system is going to have Lester and Darvish nearly identical projections. Right now, Lester is a few points higher, but again, we're waiting on some information there, and I need to go double check and make sure that we have Darvish projected for the correct amount of pitches and innings. So when it comes down to it, I think you're going to see those guys. And I think just Darvish will be the chalkier play of the two simply because he's better. He's just a better pitcher than Lester. There's all the numbers suggest that the only thing we were worried about is if he could go long enough in games. After him, a couple other interesting names at least here. You know, you have Carlos Carrasco. He's a tough nut to crack. There's been games where Carrasco has been lights out elite, like for instance the last two. And then there's been games where he's sort of middled around, and then he's gotten also blown up. I don't really know what to think of Carrasco at this point. I want to say that he's a good play because he gets a White Sox team that K's a ton against righties. I think it was supposed to be Rodon pitching, but now it's Renato pitching, and there's no line in on the game yet. I think once that comes in, you see Cleveland I don't know, minus 180, maybe something like that would be my guess. I'm, like I said, I'm just sort of guessing on what I think his money line would be. Oh, never mind. I just refreshed our feed, and I couldn't be any more wrong about that. He comes in as a minus 245 today. So I am going to, rather than just scrub the whole first part of the pod where I was just talking about Lester and Darvish, now Carrasco clearly comes into play. We had him projected somewhere in like an even money range simply because we didn't have the information. Now that I see this, the Vegas has updated the line on them. It's minus 245 and a run line of 9. That is going to possibly push Carrasco into the upper tier of cash game plays. So this is going to be interesting, right? You're going to have to make a decision between these three pitchers, Lester, Darvish, and Carrasco. Carrasco, you get the savings on. I think you probably take Carrasco over Lester because you get $1,000, at least on FanDuel, $1,000 worth of savings there, and that's a significant number that I don't think you need to worry about it. On DraftKings, Carrasco is a must play. $8,700 for the kind of implied, really for all the contextual things that he has going in his favor. $8,700 for him is a no-brainer. If you, any dollar that you see not playing Carrasco in cash games on DraftKings is one of those situations where at least to start, they got their money in bad. And the White Sox, you know, they're striking out 21% of the time against righties. They're not very good to begin with. They could get a park downgrade here moving from Chicago to Cleveland. The price is just too low on Carrasco. It was too low last game. We played him when he struck out 9 last game. It's still too low. They haven't corrected it. The Minnesota game, I think, is probably looking like an outlier for him. And this is a lock and load for me. The only question now is, who do you play at that second starting pitcher? Do you play Darvish or do you play Lester? I probably, like I said before, I'm leaning Darvish. Their prices are around the same. Our system likes Lester a little better. At the risk of just repeating myself, this is what happens when you sit here and talk to yourself for 25 minutes. You probably end up repeating yourself. Sorry about that. But those are really the three options today. None of them are going to break the bank for you. I think we're in great pitching shape for this evening slate. This whole day is really actually starting to line up to look pretty nice in terms of building lineups. All right, and then on the offensive side of things, yesterday I was on the podcast with James yesterday talking about how I was distrustful of the Dodger line going in against Velasquez in Philly because they were projected for like 4 and more than 4.5 runs. Maybe it was even closer to 5 going in. And I just thought, man, that seems high. Velasquez is, he's not an elite pitcher, but he's not a bum. And the Dodgers are a good team. And I mean, not to be results oriented, but it was a time where the system got it right. And I was distrustful. Utley was just missing out of optimal lineups in favor of Murphy. He goes yard, I think twice yesterday. He hit 2 home runs. He was a guy that was up there. Adrian Gonzalez was up there. We didn't have Yasmani Grandal as high, but he had a great game. So the Dodgers put in a great game against the Phillies, and they're really right back at the top of the system again today. They get a matchup against Jake Thompson, whose numbers are woof. Thompson stinks. I know the sample size is small. He's only pitched 9 major league innings this year. Striking out less than 7/9, 5 xFIP. The sample size is small, but it's not like you can go back into the minors and make a great case for this guy. This guy was striking out 6 batters per 9 in AAA, and with an ERA of 2.5. To me, that just totally sniffs. Well, okay, the Phillies stink, so don't get me wrong. It's not like they have this, you know, this band of horses that they can just bring in and mow people down. But Thompson, to me, if you're to look at his numbers, strikes me as a guy who was likely running hot at AAA. And has convinced either the front office or somebody that he's good when it's probably just not the case because his ERA in AAA was 2.5, but the xFIP was almost 4. So that's just, to me, without having all the information on a guy like him, because the minor leagues just don't have a robust set of stats, but that just strikes me as a guy running hot in AAA, has been promoted to the majors, and really has nowhere to go but down. He gets a Dodger team. You're still going to have Utley at the top of the lineup. You're going to have Seager, Reddick, Gonzalez, maybe Grandal again. That's a lot to contend with here. The park is a definite upgrade for the Dodgers. They have the highest implied run total on the day. I can see a situation where we're getting playing three Dodgers at least in cash games to start today. Maybe even more, depending on how they throw their lineup out there. They're in play. The other team that's really just been in play almost every single day, might be toward till the end of the year, as long as they keep playing like this and they keep fielding this kind of lineup, is the Rangers. The Rangers are another team. They're up over five implied runs. They're getting the lefty Manaea today. They, you know, guys like Desmond at the top of that order. Beltre hits lefties really well. It'll be interesting to see who they hit leadoff today. They could, Profar is a switch hitter. They could stick him at the top again, or they could bring a guy like the Shields in there. The Rangers are really pretty high up there in terms of where we're looking for cash game. They run that lineup so deep. Lucroy should be up there against the righty. There's a lot of Rangers you can get behind today. We'll probably have to wait a little bit on their lineup, though. I suspect it breaks down something like I just said. They're just a really interesting team. And the last team I'm kind of taking a look at here is the Diamondbacks. John Neese is starting for the Mets. John Neese is who he is at this point. It's not a guy that really concerns us. Low K guy, sort of, you know, dances around the edges of the strike zone. And the Diamondbacks just have a couple guys in the middle of that lineup that really put a hurting on lefty pitching. Obviously, it starts with Goldschmidt. He's just a lefty destroyer. I don't need to go into all the stats that back that up. He's elite when it comes to hitting lefty pitching. The park, obviously, is always going to help these Diamondback guys. You know, Segura is up there, Wellington Castillo, Yasmani Tomas. They just have a lot of guys that can do damage to lefty pitching from the righty side of the plate. And they're just in such a good spot when it comes to facing Neese. Neese is not a guy that worries you at all. So some of these Diamondbacks guys I like. Honestly, there are a lot of bats to choose from on this later slate. There's some teams that are just either coming at cheaper prices, like the Dodgers that are in a good spot. The Diamondbacks are just not that expensive, all things considered. I mean, even the Tigers facing Yordan Ventura, I'm not worried about. The Cubs are in a good spot. This is a really interesting set of later games where you're going to be able to mix and match a lot of high upside bats right around that Darvish, Carrasco, and possibly Lester lines. So I really just like the whole way that the day is breaking down. I'm excited for it. I'm always encouraged when we get an early look at pitching, and the pitching looks, like we said, relatively safe. And safe meaning high money lines, low implied run totals, pitchers with good peripherals. Those things are what line up to get implied safety. You know, I know people say to me, well, anything can happen in baseball. Well, no duh, anything can happen in baseball. Now, some of these guys are going to get blown up. Carrasco could give up 8 runs. We're talking about what we want to evaluate is the likelihood of these things happening. So, yes, anything can happen in baseball. A guy can go over 10 in an 18-inning game. Is it likely to happen? No. So we want to take in whenever we're making lineups, we want to look at a situation and say, what's the likelihood of something happening? And in this case, the likelihood of getting good pitching days out of one of the five guys I mentioned total in the day is high. That's just the only way there is, you know, really the only way to describe it. And can baseball be frustrating from that angle? Sure. It's probably the most frustrating DFS sport from a following along aspect. You know, every sport has its own problems, right? So NBA has lineup lock and late scratch problems. Baseball has a variance problem, and that can make it hard over the short term and the long term to sort of deal with those swings and misses, so to speak. But this is a day when you kind of look at the context coming in, when you look at how things break down, this is just the right kind of baseball slate for me. This is the one I get excited about. And I think that is it for me today. I hope the whine of my nasally on and on drone, not being broken up by, you know, the Chris's and James's of the world, wasn't too much to deal with. We'll look at the abandonment rate as opposed to the completion rate on the old metrics when it's all said and done with this. But it's going to be an interesting day of baseball. Like I said at the beginning, I'm really excited about where we're going for our football tools and projections, which we're really, really close on, only a few days away. Got to look at the beta on those yesterday and just got really, really excited for what we're going to have to offer. Still in the throes of baseball season, if you want a free 3-day trial to our projection system, head over to dfsr.com, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, where you can one button calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. All right, everybody, I'm Doug Norrie, DFSR. Go check out the site. We'll be back again tomorrow. Take it easy.